Welcome back to Common Sense Uncensored with Mark Rusted. Have you been putting off that remodel or something new around your house long enough? Let Executive Properties and Barry Romo take care of it for you. You will not regret it. Barry has done thousands upon thousands of dollars work for me and my businesses over the years, and I've never once been upset with the work. He stands by his work. You do not get a builder, you get a craftsman. So they do all sorts of commercial, residential work, kitchen, bathrooms, doors, siding, concrete, cabinet, trim, tile. You get the picture. Executive Properties will take the time to listen to what you want to have done and do it right. With over 30 years of experience, let Barry handle it for you. Take my word for it. I've done it a million times. 701-330-1273. That is Barry Romo with Executive Properties at 701-330-1273. And you will like this advice because he's the man. He can, if it can be built, Barry can build it. Today, we have a special guest with us. The feminine touch to the show of Common Sense Uncensored. Welcome and thank you for showing up, Miss Emily O'Brien. How in the hell are you and how was your weekend?
Absolutely. It was awesome. We went to Waldorf, Minnesota, so it's like pretty much Iowa, surrounded by cornfields for a wedding. And it was super hot, super humid, and I don't know how guys could do it in a tux, but it. I mean, I was sweating for him. It was crazy, but it was beautiful, and we got back last night at about 11:30.
A Waldorf wedding. I don't. You're the only person I think that I know that can say that that's what they did this weekend. Who was it? Who got married?
One of my best friends from middle school and high school. So I moved from Bloomington, Minnesota to Lakeville, Minnesota, and that's where I went to middle school, high school, pretty much grew up. And then she met her boyfriend through college. She went to St. Cloud State, and I obviously went to UND, and so she got married to him, and he was a football player, so there's a lot of football guys there and sweaty.
Lots of toxic masculinity going on. You live in Lakeville. I didn't know that.
Yep.
My uncle was your senator.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Dave Thompson is my is my mother's younger brother.
So Amanda would be...
My cousin.
Your cousin. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep, she was a year younger than me.
Oh, really? Okay, yep. Cool. Well, look at this. We see, her and I did not even know this about each other, and here we are... figuring out how small this planet actually is. Katie, what you got?
Oh, I got nothing. I'm just hopping on just for the fun of it. Let me... Oh, number four. Oh, so hit that switch. Turn it to the left.
There, now you can hear me. I'm just hopping in just for the fun of it.
Now I got... See, now I'm overpowered by estrogen in here, so we're going to...
Why not? Let's make it a four-person here.
Yeah, let's do it.
Come on, Paul.
Tech 101 with Mark.
Yeah. Which I can't even control my own cell phone. If I was allowed to say what I accidentally did on my phone, I would, but I don't think I can. Not on the show. It was pretty rough stuff.
A little colorful?
Well, have you ever accidentally hit the wrong text? Message exchange and then type something that you meant for somebody else and it went to the wrong person?
Yes, all the time.
Okay. Well, has that ever been extremely risque and it went to maybe potentially somebody that, I don't know, rents from you?
No.
Okay. Well,
negative.
That's where we're going to leave it. And I got Katie Stouse and Emily O'Brien in here, and why don't we... Well, let's ask Emily a couple of questions. This last session ended kind of a odd one with the coronavirus and all this other bullshit that was going on with the distancing and the masking and the Zoom meetings and all. It's just it wasn't a typical session for you or for anybody for that matter. I'm sure Ray Holmberg would say the same thing. It was just very odd, and he's been there for almost half a century. So what came out of it that you're satisfied with, and what would you like to see take place this next time around?
So, yeah, it was definitely the weirdest session ever. We had all been spread out into all these different committee rooms. Usually we're over in the Capitol in different committee rooms over there. The House members got moved over to the judicial wing, so it's, like, on the complete opposite end of the Capitol. So I probably got an extra 3,000, 4,000 steps in a day just to go back and forth.
Glass half full.
Yeah, exactly. And so there wasn't as many people that were in person. So, like, usually for a hearing that we'd have, so say, for example, paid family leave was one that the Democrats had introduced, and usually that committee room is packed full. Like, there's 100 people. You have to move to a bigger committee room. This one, there was maybe 30 people there, and there was a ton online, a ton of testimony online. But it was just, it felt kind of naked. The hallways felt naked. It was like a ghost town with not having people around. And the one thing that I really missed was having students there. I thought it's an amazing learning opportunity. I wish I could have done stuff like that when I was younger, to go sit on the floor during session. Not that I probably would have even known what it was then, what I was really doing, but not having the kids there and doing their presentations and the stuff that they're working on and how they want to be part of politics and understanding the process that we go through, that was really, it was almost creepy, like just with how empty the hallways were. And then I do love, though, the fact that a lot of it is online. So say someone like yourself wants to testify on a bill, you don't have to drive 4 hours or 3.5 hours from Grand Forks to testify for 3 minutes and then drive another 3.5 hours back.
You touched on exactly what I was going to ask you next, because I think, I want to say it was either Scott or Ray, when I had them in here, said that, like, of all the, you know, horse shit that went along with COVID, there was one cool thing that came out of it, was the participation that people were able to, that normally wouldn't ever get a chance, not necessarily get a chance, because it's open to everybody, it's the people's house, but it's not convenient for, well, you use me as an example, it's not convenient for me to drive 5 hours to Bitter or whatever it is to Bismarck, yep, to stand up on the floor, whereas you can apparently zoom in basically to any committee, any hearing, and at a minimum watch it, but ultimately you can also chime in. And so do you think that was a positive? That,
oh, absolutely. So my first session was 5 years ago, and one thing that really kind of hit for me was one gentleman, he was a city employee, and he had to take off a day of work, of paid time off, to come out to Bismarck, and he was from the eastern side of the state, not from Grand Forks, but from the eastern side of the state, and had to take a paid time off day just to come testify out in Bismarck for whatever his testimony was, 5-7 minutes, and still wasn't able to be paid for that day because of having to commute and take a whole day off for a personal issue that was extremely important to him. And I think that is, I've just always thought about, like, we live in the 21st century. Why do we not have the capability for people to call in? I think about someone like myself, when last session I had a baby, I tried to get to vote in or participate online.
An adorable baby, by the way. Yeah. On Facebook, I see the pictures you put up. What a freaking sweetheart.
Yeah, she's a ham. She is a little bit like her mom and dad. A little busy, running all over the place. She even knows a couple swear words, which I shouldn't say I'm proud of, but she knows how to use them, of course. She's two. So
as long as she uses them wisely and just save them for podcasts. You can't do it on regular FCC-regulated air, but if she wants to come in here and throw an F-bomb or two around, fine by
she
me.
She might get charged. We'll see. I mean, she is too, but...
Oh, the swear jar. I forgot about that. How much money do I owe that swear jar? There,
I counted it maybe two weeks ago. It was $10.
$10, really?
$10.
Okay,
well... A lot of quarters.
How much does each word cost? So
the S word.
I would just make Mark a flat rate and just...
Mark, I know.
Just put me on just a contract.
Well, bull, 25 cents, F word, 50, other, 5 cents. I'm pretty cheap.
You had me at $10?
10?
What was that, George Carlin? For a one show at $10 you had me at? If F word's only 50 cents, I can't have gotten it up that high.
No, there's $10 in here.
Oh!
I
was asking what I owe the jar.
Oh, I don't know what you owe, but it's funny because I have
probably $10.
I have, like, suggestions. You can say bull spit. Oh, snap, shoot.
Oh, snap.
This jar. I know, take a look at it. It's pretty fun. So I can make one for every show if we need, but...
So you say it, you pay it. Bull spit. Mm-hmm. Ducker.
And of course,
oh, snap and shoot. What do you think, Emily?
I say you just pay up and carry on.
Just start every show by throwing a five at the jar and move along with our lives.
Yeah, make it a part of your daily routine.
Boy, did I get us off track. I can't even remember what the hell we were talking about.
Oh, talking about Lennon and, talking about legislative stuff. So being able to have those online capabilities is just huge for people to be able to call in. You can submit testimony online. So, like, the city worker, that would have been awesome for him to be able to submit his testimony online and not have to take a paid day off of work. So that was, I think, a huge win for our session.
And it's nice to be able to take some positive out of it. I've heard other sectors have said, you know, we've discovered some things that where we were able to function and maybe function at a, you know, lesser rate. You know, for instance, I've heard people talk about possibly, you know, maybe we don't need this much square footage if X amount of people can, you know, function from home. Mm-hmm. As a guy that owns commercial real estate, I kind of hope that's not the case long term, but, you know, that's just my personal interest. If it's not my decision what companies do, but here's where I would struggle with, and tell me, because you guys are business owners.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you and your, is it boyfriend or husband?
Boyfriend,
yeah. You and your boyfriend own a successful painting and drywall company, Pace Painting. Go to them for your needs. That's a hell of a company. I've heard really good things. I would struggle with not knowing what the hell people were doing.
Well, and that's just it. I mean, you see the joking commercials of people just wearing, you know, their boxers and then business up top or, you know, whatever the case may be. And for myself, even when, I was exposed to COVID, and the way the state stuff was, even though I was continuously testing negative, they still wanted you to quarantine for 3 weeks. Absolutely ridiculous. I mean, that for me to not, I hadn't even been in contact with this person and they still wanted me to quarantine. They didn't call me contact me, nothing. But so after I was testing negative for a week, I'm like, I'm going back out there. It is totally different from online versus in person, because you miss a lot of the interaction stuff of what is actually going on. And the worst was when you have to say, when they're taking roll call and you have to say here, it sounds like you're screaming into the and like coming out of the TVs. And I was just like, it's a little bit delayed and you sound really obnoxious, but it's awesome to have the capability for when you do need to be remote. Like, I gave a floor speech remotely during that week when I was MIA for the COVID exposure, but it's just not the same as being in person. And I know a lot of people like that in-person interaction. So that's...
If I'm looking at my phone, I'm not being disrespectful to you.
You're good.
It's the fact that it's raining cats and dogs, and I'm worried about what the text might say when it's coming in. That's what apartment people worry about.
Flooding in the basement.
Yeah, because we can't just get a little tiny bit of rain. We have to get sheets of rain. I was in your exact camp. I didn't think that running in here when I got here was the greatest idea. I mean, it was...
Oh, yeah, my shins are soaking wet.
Oh, my shoes are so gross. I can't wait to get home and swap them out and put some socks on. Because I'm not wearing any, so I get soaking wet feet inside of shoes. So that'll be my disclaimer. I'm sorry,
got
girls.
It.
If you, yeah.
It's all good, Mark.
You know what gross wet feet tend to do. It's not mm-hmm. not a great deal. Well, I'm glad that there were some positives that came from it. Well, you almost had to. Some things had to become positive because it was overall so bleeping stupid. It might not come as a huge surprise to you that I didn't really adhere to all that protocol stuff. My entire family, my kids, everybody, we all caught it.
Yep.
I mean, I didn't go get tested because I didn't want to be a statistic, but I lost my sense of smell and taste, and that was a pretty good indicator that I likely
hit. See, I don't think I ever had it.
Didn't you?
Nope. I never had any symptoms or anything. I honestly think we had some sort of whatever cold, COVID, flu-like symptoms back in November, around Christmas, November, December.
Well, here's the thing. You're healthy. Mm-hmm. And that's the biggest thing about this particular virus is it attacks people that aren't.
Yep.
Or they're either old, obese, diabetic, COPD, things like that. Younger, healthy people, because we saw that in the statistics with children. It barely even, I think the only symptom that either of my kids even showed, I want to say it was my daughter, but I can't remember for sure. It might have been my son, had a fever for like a half of an hour.
Yeah.
And that was the extent of it. Well, then he tested positive, so then I'm expected to quarantine him and take him from school, and it's honestly, it's silliness.
Well, and knowing, you know, what was the probability that the tests were 100% accurate, you know, I mean, it's, could you have a positive negative test or a
false positive? Yeah. I don't get that.
Yeah, it was an interesting time to be a part of history in the making.
Yeah, and I don't think it's the last of them.
No, I don't think so either.
I think a lot of people realize there was a lot of money to make and a lot of power to grab. And so, did you see the list of the symptoms? Because they're saying the Delta variant was just a little bit different from the previous one. And so they said the symptoms of this one were a runny nose, a sore throat, and a headache. Okay.
That's every day.
In the history of, mm-hmm. That's allergies. In the history of the world, who has died from something like that? It doesn't happen.
Yeah, that's every day, I think, living in Midwest. I mean, you get pollen, you've got agriculture doing the fields, you know, just having that dirt come across the road. I mean, that's...
Well, speaking of agriculture, why don't we talk a little bit about your position as COO?
So I work for the Bioscience Association of North Dakota. I kind of got my hat in all hands, I should say, in all different places. So I serve in the legislature for District 42 in the House of Representatives. I'm the chief operating officer for the Bioscience Association of North Dakota. We more so play an economic development role, bringing bioscience, biotech, ag, farming, food, gas, oil, medical, you name it, to North Dakota. And so we've been really working hard to recruit companies to come here. And one company that we're really proud of that we've been working with is Aldevron. They started in a closet at NDSU. And the two scientists that are on it, they actually just sold their company for $9.6 billion to Danaher. They're based out of Fargo.
$9.6 billion with a B?
With a capital B.
Wow, that makes Burgum's interaction with Microsoft look a little minor, doesn't it?
Yeah, it looks like algae in a pond, right? They've done some phenomenal work. They helped with...
Sorry to cut you off. I'm astonished by that figure. Who did they sell it to?
Danaher.
Danaher.
I'm not aware of it. They're a big acquisition company that specifies in medical, you name it, commercialization successes and things like that. So they did a lot with the vaccine development. They think the number that I last heard, and I don't quote me on it, but I think was about 400 million vaccines these guys helped produce with their technology, and they do manufacturing. And so they provide a lot of solid jobs in Fargo. They've got over 1,000 people working for them just in Fargo.
Well, 400 million, that's enough for every man, woman, and child in the entire country. So that's not a small...
No.
That's not a small accomplishment at all. Well, good for them. That, yeah, you ought to be proud of that because, hell, the whole state ought to be, but specifically you and those in your field. I actually rent space to a biorefinery magazine creator.
Oh, really?
BBI. Have you ever heard of them?
Yeah.
Yeah, they rent
do advertising with them.
Oh, good.
We've talked about doing advertising with them. I don't know if we ever executed on it. There was a lot of chaos going on when I first started. Yeah. I'll add that to my to-do list.
That sounds good.
Just put in my... I've got a 5-subject notebook to-do list, so...
Oh, good.
Tuck that one in there.
That is sensational. Let's go back to the legislature for a little bit. So we touched on some things that happened, but what would you like to see going forward in the future? Is there some legislation that hasn't, you know, got legs yet that you'd like to see come?
So it's harder, I think, for me because a lot of people, you know, being a 29-year-old in the legislature, a lot of them are more so, a lot of the people that serve in the legislature are retired. They kind of like the way that things are always done. And I like to see myself more as a progressive. Let's move the needle. Let's get stuff done. Let's make stuff happen. Let's not move at the pace of government. And so that's something that I definitely appreciate about our governor, is that he's not slow moving into things. Let's not go through 13 different agencies and 48 different signatures. Let's, hey, boom, we got to start this and do this and boom and make it happen. And so overall, I wish that's kind of the way that we could move a little bit faster than molasses. But some of it was like, we could totally get done in 40 days. I wish that we could go from 7 a.m. till 10 p.m. at night and crank stuff out. But understand that other people that work with us in the legislature also have a life. Looking at like some of the stuff we did, there's a lot to be done with criminal justice reinvestment. There's a lot to be done with our behavioral health systems. There's a lot in our education, how we're funding money, where the money's coming from. I know we've done a lot with starting to support small businesses, but I'd like to see more towards that economic development, the workforce development, that research, the commercialization. I'd like to see more funding to bring more companies here. And it's interesting when you talk to some of the other legislators that have been there long term, and not any specific from Grand Forks, because I think they actually get it, but some of the other legislators that have been around for a long time, they think, well, they're not looking at incentives for their business or their company or for people or things like that. They're looking at our sales tax and our property taxes and our income taxes. And I'm like, when you're a startup business, the last thing that you're looking at is those types of things. You're looking for things that are specific to your business and how can it help you grow and where's a environment to do that. And I always think it's ironic that we always say North Dakota is open for business and, you know, what are we doing to continue showing that we're open for business? Because we always have specifications in different things, but where's the broad spectrum for people to come in and want to work and want to be here?
You know, I think that's a pretty good point. I think that's where guys like Bruce Jovig, who's the district chair? I think your district.
Richard Glynn.
Richard Glynn.
He's my boss.
Yeah, that's where they come in because they're just sensational at that. You know, I've always struggled with Richard's name. I give him a hug every time I see him, and I know his name every time I see him, but when I'm apart from him, for some reason, I just have this gap in my mind that doesn't function. But yeah, Richard's a sensational guy. People don't realize what he's done for this town specifically, and well, the state as well, but this town more so even, in my opinion.
Oh, he's phenomenal for economic development and recruiting companies here. I mean, he's got some big companies that I'm not allowed to use their name right now, but some really big companies here that are looking to do DOD contracts. And it's not, you know, a small bucket. It's a big bucket of change. And he's done a lot trying to get these companies to do work with the university. And so that's something, because we have so much lab space. And that's something that we're continuing to try to get, you know, the university, the city, the counties, the state, whoever, break down these silos. Let's start working together and make stuff happen.
I should have Richard on the show, too. There's people, let's just say high-ranking people with a lot of pull that will tell you in this town, and you've probably heard this, too, that Richard by himself is way more effective than the EDC's ever been at doing essentially the same thing.
Well, and we have a great relationship, too, with the EDC, but Richard has done a lot to bring companies here and then introduce these individuals to people like the EDC, to Department of Commerce, to Department of Ag. And so I know that sometimes frustrates Richard. He's like, well, I'm the one that helped bring them here. And I'm like, I know you did, and you do a phenomenal job in the legwork and getting them there. It's just now giving him that credit he deserves because he does phenomenal work and he gets companies here and people to actually move their families here. I mean, he had a company over COVID last year move from Brooklyn Park, I think, in the cities, up to Horace, North Dakota. And they're going to build a facility, and she moved her whole family up here and everything. So it's, he does a lot of economic development that I think gets unnoticed. So oh. I will relay that message and show him this because he will totally appreciate
it. It absolutely goes unnoticed. And I can tell you one place where it won't go unnoticed is this particular medium on Common Sense Uncensored, Richard Glynn is going to get the credit he duly deserves. So if Richard does wind up watching this, this is your attaboy, sir, because you've been amazing for this city, and it's not going unnoticed to those that are paying attention, such as Emily and myself, and now anybody that might be listening to this or watching it.
Absolutely, yeah, he will be super excited about that. And that we had talked earlier, too, about the workforce is like a huge issue. And I know for us as a business, and even like the bioscience companies that we work with, trying to find employees. And I think a majority of people in this town are having that issue. I think even across America, you see help wanted signs everywhere.
You know, the service industry is really, really taking a hit from this. And I believe that was government created. I don't believe that paying people more money than they would make at work to stay home is a very wise decision. So the service industry, you see restaurants now that are closing at 9 or not open certain days of the week.
Because they don't have people.
They don't have people. So I was going to ask you, in Bismarck specifically, what do you like to do out there? What do you do for fun? How do you let loose?
Like after a session and stuff like that? Yeah. Or like after we get done for the day?
Yep.
I actually am still working. So doing my bioscience stuff and then helping out with the paste painting side of things, I'm usually still working. But then there's a group of us that have been going axe throwing.
Throwing?
Yeah.
Any good?
I'm not so bad, but it took a couple times to figure out how to get the hang of it.
I bet.
For my boyfriend for his birthday, he's like a hard guy to shop for because he's one of those guys that has like one of everything. So I got him a custom built axe throwing board done by some local guys here, and I am blanking on the company name. His name's Michael, and he did the countertop over at the other half where Half Brothers and Bully Brew did their
location together. Yeah.
He did their countertop, and I don't know why I'm blanking on his name. But anyways, he made me a custom-built axe-throwing board. So we brought that to the lake, and we've got the throwing stars and the knives and the axes. And
throwing stars, too, huh?
Oh, yeah. We got the whole nine yards.
You guys are having fun. The reason why I ask, have you ever been out to Pullman's spot? What's it called, the Blarney?
Yes. Yep, we've had meetings there, too.
Yeah, that's a nice spot. And that's actually a great transition. I want to remind people about the Bun Lounge's third annual pre-Sturgis party. July 30th and 31st. Free live music, food by L&M Meats, Burnout Stage, and more. Don't miss out on the best party in town. Go to the Bun Lounge's third annual pre-Sturgis party, Friday, July 30th and Saturday the 31st. Bunge Lounge, blah, blah, blah. Easy for me to say. Bun Lounge, home of the world-famous Shrimp Caesar. Open daily till 2 a.m. on 1708 Mill Road. And if you need the phone number to say hi to Jack or to check on your husband, figure out where he's at, 701-772-4366. Tell him that Mark Rusted from Common Sense Uncensored sent you. Who knows, maybe he'll slide you a beer. And if you want, I'll cover it. Actually, I called Jack the day before yesterday and told him I was saying this, so he's okay with it. So okay. The bands are going to be Friday night is Sweet Freedom, and Saturday the band is Back for More. You're going to have a good time. It's a Bun Lounge. Again, it's on Friday, July 30th, and Saturday the 31st. So let's have a little pre-Sturgis party. You're going to watch some motorcycles do some burnouts, and hopefully nobody accidentally drops it and lands on their side. And have a good time at the Bun Lounge, and tell Jack Gregory, the owner, that Mark Rusted said, get your ass over there and give me a free beer. Have a good time at the Bun Lounge. Emily, that was our transition. So we talked about bars. That's how I got there.
That was beautiful.
I know, wasn't it?
You executed that like
wasn't that
like
a thing?
Champ. Yeah.
A thing of beauty.
Right? By the way, I've been holding this in my hand. I should quickly read this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh no, I was making fun of you.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You were holding your hand like, oh yeah, I gotta read this. This is a good transition. But I can read this to you. This is what I did is I put together like a solid policy bills of what we've worked on this session and like things that were important. And one that you had brought up earlier was the Lyft bill. And so that is the Innovation Loan Fund to support technology advancement. So they just kind of finessed the letters a little bit to spell out Lyft. So it was an easier way to call it that. But It was $15 million that was appropriated, and it's designed to help North Dakota companies commercialize a product that they've developed. Not research funding, but giving businesses a small boost in capital that they need to move their product across the finish line. So they're low interest loans from the Bank of North Dakota Profits. So that was one of our, I think, a big win for funding. It's crazy to see what North Dakota does for funding like this compared to other states. So, like, we were lucky to have a $3 million or even $15 million deal. And then you look at states like Texas who do $110 million grant funding to one company for one sector.
So let's expound upon that. If you're a would-be entrepreneur and you've got an idea, but you're worried about funding, you know, because a lot of banks look at your idea and go, they'll kind of pick it apart.
Yep.
And say, well, this doesn't look good on paper. You're going to have to come up with, you know, whatever percentage they might choose. So if you're sitting on what you believe to be a goldmine idea, how does somebody, what's step one, two, and three for them?
So say you've got this amazing idea. I would say if you're in the idea phase, you would go through the Department of Commerce. They've got a grant program called Innovate ND. And when I was a part of that a couple years ago, probably even 6 years ago, they had a phase, like four-phase program where you could get funding up to $40,000. And it could be in the idea phase, and then you would go through each phase of the program to help with prototyping, hiring consultants, hiring coaches, you name it, to as long as it fit the criteria to kind of move forward with your amazing million-dollar idea. So that was one of the programs that they have for funding. There's a lot of actually different funding programs between the Department of Commerce and Department of Ag, and they have those all on their website that companies can apply for.
So if you're the would-be million-dollar idea guy and you've got this idea and you go through those steps, how would you compare like what that lift the legislation to like what SCORE does here locally?
So SCORE locally, they receive federal dollars to help with businesses, and I think they're a great asset for doing like the business plan to make sure that you have all your ducks in a row before you go to the bank. So they would make sure, yep, like this business plan is solid, you meet every mark, this is exactly what a banker would be looking for. And so they kind of help with that coaching process of getting your ducks in a row paper-wise. So like my boyfriend is not a paper guy. He wants to just be able to go boom, boom, boom and make stuff happen.
Yeah, him and I would get along just fine.
Absolutely. We always joke that he picks stuff up and puts it down. Like that's, you know, what he does, and I can do the background side of things of the paperwork and when he needs to be a part of conversations or reading through emails and stuff like that, we'll bring him into the mix. But they are a great avenue for people to kind of get organized. They've got volunteers that come in that are business owners or have been a part of the business sector that volunteer their time to help with that. And then there's SBA. That's also, they get state and federal funding, and they also have their programs. They've actually had a lot of federal funding to help companies, and Greg Syrup has been leading the path on that. And I think Tiffany Ford is now the director over there. So they're also in the Center for Innovation. So my office is in the Center for Innovation with the Bioscience Association of North Dakota. SBA is in the Center for Innovation. SCORE is in the Center for Innovation. They've got the Innovate ND program through the Center for Innovation staff. That was all started by Bruce Drovig until he retired.
You know what my experience with the Center for Innovation is?
I can only imagine.
It's where we met with our lawyers for a divorce mediation.
Hey, but they have attorneys there too.
Yep.
Nothing wrong with that.
Actually, just to my right here, we got young Katie, and we're talking about a tech guru. She's really handy with things like this that make the show work. What ideas? Katie, you ought to.
I'm not creative.
You're not at all?
I don't think so.
I think you are. I would beg to differ.
I hide it.
You do? Well, but somebody of her ilk, in my opinion, would be somebody that might approach a SCORE and utilize that LIFT legislation that was passed in order to maybe start something of her own, you know, because I can barely operate a phone. I think we made that clear in our first moments of the show. But, you know, people like her and probably you and, well, hell, even my freaking six-year-old son that can operate these things better than I can.
Yep.
There is so much opportunity for young people and old people if they figure it out. I can't. But to get something rolling in the tech sector, because you don't really need a ton of money. If you could just figure something out, you can, I mean, what? How?
There's so many resources mm-hmm. out there too. Like, you know what you know and you don't know what you don't know. And that was really mind-opening for me as a, with that entrepreneurial mindset and like with my boyfriend with painting and drywall and rentals and with my bioscience and then helping all these different entrepreneurial companies. You know what you know and you don't know what you don't know. And I think if you're a part of that sector where you are a researcher and you're great at going after grant funding, you know exactly where to look. But if you have never been a part of that or you don't know where to go find resources and help or who or what, and you've never heard of the word innovation before or entrepreneurial, you're just like, hey, I love setting up technology. I love it, you know, getting a studio like this set up. Who, it's cool. You know, who can I go to help bring me to the next level?
How do you guys enjoy those rentals, by the way? I saw an eye roll.
I love mowing.
Oh, you do?
I love spending my time mowing on the weekends.
Let me show you a picture.
Oh, my Atlanta.
That's a living room.
Yeah, what?
That's a living room.
Oh, that's a living room. Mm-hmm. That doesn't look like a living room.
Here's the kitchen.
Do you like Pepsi?
It must, yeah, a lot.
2 liters. Mm-hmm. It's just, I mean, it's crazy how some people live, you know, owning a bunch of rental properties and, like, not appreciating and living and maintaining where they're at. I mean, I guess everyone has different situations and circumstances, but it's just you know, crazy how some people just leave the place.
The commercial real estate is less risky.
Yeah.
But it's actually, no, I should rephrase that. In a way, it's more risky, but it's like when you lose someone, you might have an empty building for, you know, a decade, mm-hmm. but you don't stumble onto things like what I just showed you. And with the apartments, usually you can fill them up pretty quick, but occasionally that happens or you get texts like I've been getting.
Oh, yeah. Last week in like 3 days, we had a house where the renter moved out. She had two ginormous German Shepherds and the dogs used the whole basement as a bathroom, and it just smelled like ammonia, and the whole place was absolutely totaled. We had to repaint the whole thing and clean up some flooring, repaint stairs. I mean, I've never seen anything. You always say, I've never seen anything like it, but it just gets worse and worse and worse.
Well, here's the thing. In the minute you think you've seen it all.
You haven't.
No, you haven't.
Yeah, it gets better and better.
Yeah, like we could sit here and swap stories, and that actually might make for an interesting show. Let me tell you one that really stands out in my mind. So I was pretty new to the game then, right? So I was sort of naive, you know, a little green, and I walk into a rental unit, and it had been abandoned. You know, they stopped paying rent and just left. And there was these, like, Tupperware containers all over the countertops and the coffee tables and things like that. And I'm like, well, I wonder what they were storing, you know? And so this should be a word of advice to anybody that might be listening or watching. If a Tupperware container is bulging, leave it the F alone. Don't touch it. Grab rubber gloves, get it into a garbage bag, and be done with it. Don't let your curiosity...
Don't open it.
Get a hold of you. Well, what I did was I looked closely at it, and I popped the corner of it, and I got a shot of rotten breast milk right in the face, eyes, and mouth.
You deserved it for opening it.
I did. It was my own stupidity. And this probably was 15 years ago almost or something, but I can still taste it. I can still smell it, and it's why I stopped breastfeeding. I had to. But where's my laugh? Is it on here, sir? Whoa.
Wrong one. I was hitting two buttons at the same time.
Ha ha ha. The creaky noise was probably more appropriate.
Yeah. I was hitting two buttons, I guess.
How long does this go? Does it just go till you? Oh, so it stopped. It continues to laugh.
Well, it depends on. We still have to program the buttons, but most of them are right.
Yeah, it seemed like that laughter was never going to end, and I knew that was a funny remark, but I didn't think it was that funny. So
do do do.
Yeah. So, well, where were we? Oh, yeah. And I'll give you one more, too. And this one's a little bit grosser. Well, it's hard to beat that for grossness, but this one's kind of pretty gross. So this might have been my first week or two doing this. And like a really, really nice couple, so we thought, you know, we're always pleasant, coming to the office, always pleasant. And we all of a sudden stopped getting payment from them. They weren't picking up the phone. They had young kids. So actually we were concerned. So we went over there, did a welfare check. And once we did so, we stumbled onto one of the most horrific, disgusting, not horrific. They were gone. They had left. So let me preface it with that. It was what they left behind that was horrific. You know those little pumpkin things that little young kids use to trick-or-treat? You know?
Yep.
They had used those to defecate, and they did not dispose of them, along with Tupperwares. I've got this is why I'll never sell Tupperware for a living, because I've got too many, I'm scarred by anything to do with Tupperware. But yeah, those were full, paint buckets were full, mop buckets were full, the toilet was like a Wendy's Frosty, and it was horrific. And this was like my first, like dipping my toe into the world of rental property. So top that, Emily.
You could have your own like little blog or podcast on rental properties 101, do's and don'ts, stories.
That would be a good idea.
Top that.
I've been telling people for a long time I was going to write a book, but I can't read. No, I'm just joking. I can read. But I just don't think I'd remember all the good ones. Because
once you think of something, it's hard to forget.
Yeah, well, maybe it's like a snowball going. Yeah, that could be too. What's your best one?
Oh, gosh. There's a lot.
You're on the spot. I get that. So,
well, I mean, even like, so this one wasn't even one of our rental properties, but one of our, I don't even know what the connection to him was, but he left a bunch of stuff in our boat storage. And so it was like a couch, and it creates a lot of moisture in there. So couch, furniture, I mean, everything had like this perfect fuzz over everything. Mice everywhere inside the couch, the mattress. I mean, it's not even that gory, but.
Give it time.
Yeah, it's just how some people just are like, don't need any of that stuff. And cleaned up maggots last week from a mattress that they left outside. I mean, I don't know. I just feel like none of it grosses me out anymore. It
still grosses me out to a great extent. And also, from an allergy standpoint, I struggle from time to time. I found out that I'm apparently extremely allergic to squirrels, because a squirrel had gotten into somebody's air conditioner and just made a huge mess of a nest and all this. And while I was doing it, I noticed my arms, like my forearms, started really to itch. And by the time I was done, I looked like I had leprosy on my arms. Like it was insufferably itchy. I didn't even know what to do. I finally wound up spraying like Benadryl spray on them, and that was what.
It wasn't fiberglass?
No, it was like squirrel stuff. I don't even know what squirrel. What do squirrels do in their nests to make something so gross? I'm not a big squirrel.
Wild. We did have one renter that like cut up oranges and onions and potatoes, and then would use her like leftover stuff and put it in like dirt in her freezer and like in her fridge. And then she, I don't know what the deal was with diapers, but she had a lot of diapers and like, I don't know if there was mental issues or whatever that was going on, but it was like disturbing finding the adult diapers used all over, like underneath her bed and futon. And
I just want to jump in because I had a funny story with what you guys are talking. It wasn't a rental property, but my brother, when he got his house in Minneapolis, apparently the guy that owned it before him, he just like destroyed the place. He put like bird feed and all kinds of stuff in there because he was in a divorce and he didn't want his wife to get the house. So he just wanted the bank to like
foreclose
on it. So when he got in there, I mean, there were at one point he cut a hole in the wall and hundreds of dead rats fell out of it because they were going in through like getting into one part of it, but then they dropped down, but then they couldn't climb their way back up. And so they just had more and more and more in there. But yeah, I mean, it was just like...
When people are mad, they do twisted things.
Yeah, they had to completely gut the entire house, like take out everything. Because, I mean, the guy put bird feed in there. He put stuff to attract rodents. Like
stuff to attract them.
Yeah.
I can't imagine being that mad and like doing something like that. Like, this sounds like a good idea. We're going to, you know... Let's attract as many rats as we can and make sure they can go up but not come down.
And this isn't like a small house. This is like probably, you know, I would say maybe like a $600,000 home. So it was like just disgusting.
Hopefully you got a good foreclosure price.
Oh, yeah. That's why he bought it.
She must have pissed him off.
Right?
So. That's like sleeping with his brother's style revenge. Yeah. I mean, it must have been something rough. I don't know. I can't put myself in a state of mind where you'd want to get that vindictive.
No.
So it had to have been pretty bad.
Yeah. No thanks.
So what would it take you to put rat attract into a house? Well, like what would your boyfriend have? What's his name?
Jake.
What would Jake have to do to you?
Oh my! It would have to be pretty severe to get me to go to that point. I mean, I was just sprinkling the peppermint salt or whatever around some of our buildings just so that the rodents would stay away, let alone trying to attract them.
Yeah.
No, and that's twisted. That's like borderline.
Yeah, there'll be a made-for-TV movie about this cat one day. There's no question about that.
No.
That's.
But seriously, how do you come up with that? Like, how do you think I'm going to go to Home Depot or Menards and I'm going to buy 6 bags of birdseed and I'm just going to leave all the windows open and we're going to sprinkle it everywhere in here and let's get the pigeons. Invite everyone.
Google it.
Best revenge stories. Like,
speaking of birdseed, my buddy John, he lives on, his weekend home is on Kitchee, which is attached to Cass Lake.
Yep.
Right. So he wakes up, he goes outside, it would have been Saturday morning with his coffee out under his deck,
mm-hmm.
and he discovers a black bear just tearing his bird feeders apart. He's got, showed me pictures and stuff, or sent them to me, with bird feeders just in half. So if you're near Cass or Kitchee, and from what I heard, I guess apparently also my lake, Grace Lake, don't put out bird feeders right now because the bear...
They're out looking for them.
Yeah.
We're on Erskine, or on Union Lake in Erskine, and there's a mama bear and, like, her babies. At least there was last summer, and I've heard that she was out again this summer, but I haven't seen her yet. Last summer, she came up on our property.
You know what I would not recommend, Emily? Is if you see bear cubs, the little ones, get the hell away as fast as you can, because black bears are usually fairly docile. Dogs can scare them off. They're, you know, more scared of you than, they're not like grizzly bears or polar bears. But when those cubs are involved, there's a reason why people call it mama bearing when mm-hmm. you're sticking up for your kids, and that would be the reason.
I'm getting all sorts of advice from you today.
I know, isn't this something? This is like Dr. Dahlia. Like,
yeah.
Or no, not her. No, who was it? Dr. Drew. So you can just call me Dr. Mark if you want. Actually, speaking of titles, aren't I technically supposed to be calling you the Honorable? Aren't you the Honorable Emily
O'Brien?
That's
one of the titles, yes, but I'm good with just Emily.
You are?
Or a lot of the guys in the legislature will call me O'Brien. So that works too. Or OB. I don't need the representative or the honorable title.
So I don't have to say, like, Your Honor, or we can just go with Emily?
Yeah. Okay, I'll call you Dr. Mark, though, if that's what you would like to be called.
Well, you know, I want to hear it a few times and before I decide whether that's going to be my, like, in, you know, the full,
my demands. I've got a business plan for you right now.
You do?
The trophy shop downtown.
Yes. You want to put something in there?
No. I wanted to repaint it, though, for you because the paint job in there is a little rough, but.
Yeah, and outside.
Over there. Yeah, and I was going to do something with the awning, but I just one gal, so many things to do.
Too much on your plate.
But you could have Dr. Mark's like rental issues. Like come in for rental therapy and you give them advice. Hey, don't do this. This is what you need to do. Boom.
I'll tell you some fucking banana stories that you'll never believe.
Yeah. So, and then just make people realize like, oh, you thought you had it bad. Well, it's not this bad.
Yeah. So the grass isn't always greener type of stuff going
Jennifer
on.
Jennifer Rosted said Dr. Phil Mark.
Dr. Phil. Oh, that dog joke.
That's what she just commented. You owe 50 cents. Yeah. Oh. You said the F word.
Did I? No. Did I really?
Yeah, I didn't even realize it.
I know.
Good one. Maybe you should put a extra in there. No, you don't.
What does it go towards? What does it buy?
I have no idea. It's been sitting there since March. I don't even know.
I mean, if it...
Paul, any ideas? I don't know.
We'll give it to some charity.
It would be nice, I guess.
I was going to say, it should be like... the swear jar should go towards like a... something like a outing or something for all the employees. Am I actually an employee? I don't even know. Am I just a guy that sits here and drives you guys bananas for an hour every week? I don't know what my role is.
It's like you're not technically an employee, but you bag your own groceries. Like at Target, you do self-checkout.
Yeah. I think that's my role here. And Katie?
Paul's just having a party back there laughing. All I hear is
laughing. All the guys on the sports show, they all went on Facebook and posted that they started a new job at GFBS.
Yeah.
So you could do that.
Should I do that?
Sure.
I thought I was the only employee, but I guess we have more.
My title for Pace Painting is Glorified Volunteer, so that could be, I'll let you borrow that title if you want, Glorified Volunteer.
I have one of those.
Dr. Volunteer.
So you're a silent partner. No, not silent, I guess unpaid partner.
Oh, I've got a lot of sweat equity and actual equity invested in the business, just haven't seen a return yet.
Did you sell that boat, by the way?
No.
God, if I had the money, I would have bought it. That thing was freaking sweet. She's talking about Emily. You guys probably don't know this. So Emily bought a dump trailer from Jen and I that we inherited from her stepfather that recently passed.
And if your brother-in-law doesn't want that other trailer, we'd probably buy that one.
Which one?
The other trailer that was sitting next to it.
Oh, the car trailer? Oh, I'll let him know. He actually already bought it from us. So I
know, but if he doesn't...
Oh, I'll let him know for sure. Yeah, so she bought this trailer, but she was talking about, I said, yeah, I suppose we'll turn around and take this cash and throw it at a boat. And she's like, well, we're probably getting rid of ours, you know. I'm like, shoot. See what I did there? I didn't say shit.
Oh, well,
now
good
I
job.
Fucking did.
Paul, jeez. Oh my gosh, Mark.
You see, that's how things get away.
Jeez. I'm going to get a bleed button in there.
Is there a 7-second delay like there is on the radio?
There is? Oh, I don't know.
Do you have a Venmo?
No.
Maybe we should just set you up with a Venmo and then you can request.
That's a good idea. And I mean, that's three.
I think I'm $4 or $5 already today.
Probably.
But what I was going to say is, so she sends me this picture of this boat and I'm like, oh my. she might think I'm Jed Clampett after he struck oil shooting for some food, but no, that's not the case. Not quite the case. So we wound up settling on a 20-foot fiberglass, basically a utility family boat.
The kids can eat Cheetos and Freezies, red Freezies in.
See, if I had bought yours, which I would have loved to have, by the way. If I would have bought yours, though, I would be such a cop about, you know.
Oh, Jake is literally the food police.
Yeah.
You guys live like animals and... throwing chips and red juice boxes into the water and
well and
especially with white interior, it's just
and between rough. Between Jen and I there's six kids and two grandkids.
Yep.
And so a lot of them are still young yet. I mean, four out of, you know, those two grandkids, no, they don't live here in town, but they're going to come here. They're actually going to be here shortly. We're very excited to see them.
I met four of them when I was over dropping money off for the dump.
Oh, trailer. You probably met Roman and Layla. Those are my two from a previous marriage. And then you probably met
two older girls,
Natalie and Stephanie.
Yep. Because Natalie's taller than me, but everyone's taller than me.
Natalie might be taller than me.
Probably. She's really tall.
Yeah. And that kid, I don't know if you have an appreciation or not for ballroom dance, not ballroom, what do you call it? Ballet dancing.
Yep.
But holy crap, is she a marvel.
Oh, that. I She's got the perfect legs for it.
Oh, my goodness. Long legs. It's not my thing. I like to watch cage fighting or participate in cage fighting. But I when I see athletic greatness, you know, you can appreciate it.
You appreciate it, right? Yep.
And jeepers, criminy, can she dance. I can remember it was over my lunch break. Was it last year or the year before? I can't remember. She was competing in some – must have been the year before because then Corovis virus or whatever hit. But she was competing in something in Minneapolis, and so Jen wanted me to watch on the computer, and I'm like, I can't believe I'm sitting here on my lunch break, like, waiting for a dance competition to start on my computer. But then once she went, I was, like, glued to it. I'm like, go, you're kicking ass, you know. It was so much fun to watch.
Oh, yeah, that's how Jake is with his daughters. They're, one is in figure skating, and then one's in hockey, and Ezra's in baseball right now, and – you know, you think figure skating is, okay, go out and skate on the ice, but, I mean, she nails everything every single time. It's, you wouldn't want to see me do any of that. I can go out and skate, but not, you don't want to see me jumping or
no
pirouettes. It would be ugly for everyone involved.
Well, and I'm not just saying this because I, you know, I love her. It's because I was legitimately impressed.
Yeah.
Like, just going, holy mackerel, like, this kid's got some talent. And now I got... You know, Paul Botts are giving me crap.
Yeah, he's
His daughters are awesome as well. So shout out to you, Botzer.
I don't have the comments up in front of me, otherwise.
Oh, it's up there.
Look at the time.
I mean, I have my phone, and then Mark has a phone, but.
Look at the time.
There's a lot of comments. Oh, yeah. There we go.
Hey, Emily, you know what's going on this weekend? Or not this weekend. It would be on July 24th. Is that this weekend? No.
Yeah. That's this weekend.
Oh, you know,
Saturday.
You know what's going on?
The air show.
Reynolds.
Yeah.
The Beehive. Have you ever heard of the Beehive in Reynolds?
Yeah, I've been to the Beehive.
You have?
Yeah.
Well, they are celebrating their grand opening with a huge party. Put it on your calendar, Emily. Maybe you and Jake want to go out there, get
We've
a sitter.
We've got a family reunion.
Oh, that sounds not fun.
It's actually really fun.
Is it?
His side of the family is a riot. They're in Grand Rapids.
Oh, Grand Rapids. You can't beat Grand Rapids. But let me tell you about this place, just in case something gets canceled.
The Beehive, they did it really, like, it looks awesome in there.
I got to get over there. They got a beanbag tournament, outside entertainment. It's double elimination, blind draw for partners. So, like I said last time I did this read, I'm no good at it, but I might draw you who's awesome at it and still win the damn thing. And then they got a steak fry at the park from 5 to 8, hosted by Reynolds Community Betterment. And to top it off, they got live music from 8 to midnight. Rhyme or Reason.
I've heard of them, yeah.
Yeah, Rhyme or Reason's awesome. This takes place right on Main Street. Reynolds, North Dakota is the place to be Saturday, July 24th, the grand opening of the Beehive. We'll see you there. It does sound like a good time, does it not?
Yeah.
Oh, Rhyme or Reason is a great...
It's something nice, too. Get out of town. It's not, you know, out of town, but still you can commute back and forth.
Yeah, it's real quick. I mean, I wouldn't recommend having, you know, 17 beers and then coming back. But
no, find a ride. Or if you're an Uber driver, go to Reynolds because then you can make some good money going back and forth.
Hey, since COVID started, have you taken many Ubers or Lyfts?
A couple, just from, like, bringing cars to... get fixed and then needing a ride, but they've said it's been super slow. And now it's even more slow with college kids being gone.
Because, you know, well, I don't know if you know this or not. Me and Scott Meyer play in a golf team on Tuesdays in East Grand Forks. And so I don't really like to have a vehicle there.
Yep.
Because, well,
yeah, not
because you know why.
Yep.
And every single time I've clicked on one, there's just been no drivers available.
Yeah, I believe it.
So I have to either talk Scott into giving me a ride, or I just leave a car there.
Well, and you live, like, way on the south end of town.
Yeah, a mile away. Several miles away.
It's, like, probably 5 or 6 down in Washington.
If I didn't love the way Valley puts their men's league together so much, obviously it would make way more sense for me to play it.
Then you could walk.
At King's Walk, yeah. Or I could... Bochensky's even got a golf cart. And I guaranteed let me take that baby if
he's go right across.
Sitting in his garage, you could just run across number 7 and get right to the, you know, the pro shop. But it's such a good format, though. I mean, it's fun.
But I agree, though, it's hard to find an Uber or Lyft even.
Well, do you know why? I mean,
I have no idea. I'm sure a lot of the people that are doing it might have daytime jobs too. That don't want to do it at night, or if it's just really slowed down that they pick and choose when. Maybe the is this your pitch right now? Tuesday nights, you need Uber drivers?
Yes, this can be my pitch. Good call on that. So any Uber drivers listening on Tuesday nights, I get picked up from 2603 7th Avenue South, the shop, because I leave a vehicle at work, and my wife is nice enough to pick mine up. And then if anybody else is like a huge fan of the show and wants like an autograph or like a picture or something like that, they selfie. Can do it. Yeah, and then we can handle all that other stuff in the vehicle on the way.
Yeah. Perfect. So, but what time do you need to be picked up at?
I need to be picked up at like before 5:15.
And then, but a ride home from you're done?
I'm good there. I can always jump in with somebody there, and all we do is get dropped off at the...
So like someone after work. I can pick you up after I do daycare.
You got me?
Yeah, and then drop you off.
Well, then why are we even worrying about it then?
What a fun show today.
I know. Didn't we work this out, Katie?
Send me a calendar invite.
Fun topics.
We were literally all over the board.
Maybe it's because I joined, because I never join. This is my first time like joining a show.
I like it when you join.
I know. I like it too. It's fun.
It is fun. And like I explained to Emily on the phone earlier today, I'm not exactly Rob Port or, you know, any of the KNOX guys or anything. Oh. I said, this is going to be a conversation, not a grilling or whatever. And so I just want it to be fun for the listeners, and I hope that people enjoyed it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I hope you'll have me back.
I would love to have you back. Oh, my goodness. It's already 2:06. Look at that. We missed our break. Well, with that, Emily.
Shucks.
We are. Did I hit a button?
I thought that was like you being like, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah. So I'm like Rush Limbaugh level stuff going on here. Emily, thank you for the time.
Yes, thanks for having me.
I you will not know how much I appreciate all the guests that come in and waste part of their afternoon horse shitting with me on the podcast Common Sense Uncensored. I believe it's episode 10. If not, it's 9 or 11. And with that, folks, thank you so much.